Blog Talk Radio.
That'll be enough right there to praise God. He never lost the battle. Never. And he never will. That's what I like when she said. She said he never will. If you're a believer, you know he'll never lose a battle. Then I like the fact that some people say, well, I'll lose the battle, but I won't lose the war. Well, if you win all the battles, you won the war. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints that are faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm just delighted to be in the Word of God. It's a blessing. I don't just count that short, brothers and sisters. That That means a lot to be in the Word, because I haven't always been in the Word. Let me be real clear here. I haven't always been in the Word. So it's a beautiful thing to be in the Word, and you know it's real. Hallelujah. We're going to ask Pastor Bale from Akron, Ohio, if she'll be so kind to give us a word of prayer on this Review Sunday.
Praise the Lord, and good afternoon, everyone. Amen, amen. Thank you for that selection, Pastor. That is my testimony. Amen. He never lost the battle. That's why we can stand on God's word, because he's never lost the battle. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 20. It says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying." Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we just want to thank you, Father God, for another day. We're thanking you, Father God, for the selection. You never lost the battle. That encourages our heart, Father God, just to trust in you. Father God, we ask that you address all the listeners, those that are listening by internet, those who have called in, as that you will bless our pastor, all those that participate, Father God. We just ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to your word, that we're able to trust you at what you said, Father God. Your word is faithful. Your word is true, Father God. So help us to stand on the word, Father God. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be with those that are sick and shut in, be with all those who are bereaved and those who are going through. You said you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, and that all we have to do is trust you. Stand on the word. Allow that word to marinate in our heart and in our soul, that we can be spiritual. And that we don't worry about what the world is saying, what the world is doing, but we want to be concerned about what you are doing in our life, Father God. So help us stay focused. Help us to be determined, not to turn around, not to give up, but to trust in you with our whole heart, God. So we can be praised today. And we just can't thank you enough for this word today, Father God.
Thank you enough.
Have your way, Father God, in our lives, Father God. Let us have that light that shines and help lost souls, those that are on the borderline. They want to come, and then there's something that's holding them back, Father God. But, Lord, we know you never lost the battle. So we're going to continue to pray for them, no matter what's going on, Father God. And, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all things. Now have your way as we get into this review, Father God, and continue to let your word be in our life, Father God. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that heartfelt prayer. Well, hey, brother and sister, we're talking about comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And this week, we pretty much went into the fact that the Spirit of God on last Sunday, we were talking about the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. It's so beautiful to know that when you get the Spirit of God, all this other God stuff you get, that's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing for me. It's like, what, you mean all this come in the package? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When you understand what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon you, you go, thank you, Jesus. Can't thank him enough. Can't thank him enough. Don't have, David said, if I had 10,000 tongues.
Well,
we started last Monday with Acts 19 and 2. Really, I want you all to, if you have a scripture, something that, you know, you want to share today. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. This review is for everybody. It's not for me and Pastor Ben. It's for everybody. So if you want to share, please, by all means, do not hesitate. But we're going to start with Acts 19 and 2. Evangelist sharing, are you able to read today?
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Thank you for the beautiful words today. Thank you, Pastor Bell, for that beautiful prayer. In Acts 19 and 2 in King James, it reads as follows. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside you? We've never heard of that. A Holy Spirit, God within us. Amen.
Well, you know, have you acted on the Word of God since you've been introduced to the Holy Spirit? See, when you talk about belief, you're talking about acting. So you ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you've been acting on the Word of God? We know you got the Word of God because we hear it, we see it, and we need to know, have you received the Holy Ghost? Because that's in them same scriptures that you're talking about. So Apollo goes like, well, wait a minute now. I haven't so much heard that be a Holy Ghost. One of the things that we shared on this week was the fact that a lot of people are not up to date, brothers and sisters, on the Word of God. So in Acts 18:24, through 26. Let's read that one.
Okay. In King James, it reads as follows. Acts 18. Okay. 24 reads as follows. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Amen.
26. It's
Acts 18:24
through
26. 26, okay. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord.
24 through
26. Okay. Okay, I read 24. I'll go back and read it again so it all comes together. Praise the Lord. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, a man named Apollos came to Ephesus. He was a Jew born in Alexandria, Egypt, and a terrific speaker, eloquent and powerful in his preaching of the scriptures. He was well-educated in the way of the master and fiery in his enthusiasm. Apollos was accurate in everything he taught about Jesus up to a point, but he only went as far as the baptism of John. He preached with power in the meeting place. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and told him the rest of the story. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Amen.
And now, I hope y'all believe this, a bear just went by my window.
Wow. Glad you was inside.
Just went by my window, my office here. It's a big field and a lot of woods over there to my left, but he came and went right by there. I just saw that, man. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Apollos was an amazing teacher. He was a Jew, which simply means he had been circumcised, and he had been learning about the Old Testament prophecy, and that the Messiah was going to come, and how he was going to come, and he believed. He believed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear the scripture, you'll know that he believed. But he was lacking something. In all of his deliverance, he couldn't tell the people about the spiritual reality for the simple fact that he hadn't been born again of the spirit. See, that's the spirit is spirit. That's the flesh is flesh. So the best he could do was to teach. And it was so profound that the people literally saw the Old Testament scripture being effectively declared, oh, wow, before his, being effectively declared before his, the people's eyes, the Old Testament scripture. Now, it was not a matter of debate with him. It was a matter of fulfillment. So as he taught about the Messiah coming, and he taught that Jesus were to die, and he pointed out some things and the miracles. A lot of people don't know this, but I'm going to share this. I'm not going to get into that because it wasn't part of the lesson this week. But you got to ask the question, why did Jesus do all those miracles? Okay? Why did he do those miracles? Because that's what the scripture had said, so he was fulfilling the impossible. They knew that there were certain things that was impossible, like the healing, the well, raising Lazarus. See, those things were impossible.
Yes.
So, for Jesus to fulfill the Old Testament, Apollos was preaching about this stuff. He was preaching about some of the stuff that Jesus had done. And Priscilla and Aquila, they recognized that, hey, this man is really onto the scripture. He really know what's going on. But he still needs something here. It wasn't clear with him the fulfillment, that there was a new energy, there was a new boldness that these ladies had that actually, and I didn't get into it, the women weren't really supposed to do that. They broke some laws. Because he was a Jew.
All right.
They broke some laws, man. But this thing was so important. Apollos decided to travel to Antioch and began to preach. And his friends at Ephesus were able to see how he had grown and that he had received something. Let me tell you what. They thought so much of Apollos until they were debating who should they follow. What was, you know, they understood Paul's message. They understood Apollos' message. Matter of fact, it had got to the point that they were debating. And Paul had to let them know. And what I like about Paul, he didn't degrade Apollos for the message he was preaching. He didn't do any of that. He didn't call strife. He didn't call division. But he made it real plain. Some plant and some water. But God give the increase.
Amen.
Evangelist Sharon may say some words, and that's planting. And pastor come along and water. But it's God who gives the increase here.
Hallelujah.
So he didn't call no division. He understood that.
Amen.
Some people have a divisive spirit. They always want to divide. They always want to play to that place where they want to make someone else better than someone else, or acknowledge one person over the other person. And they don't, they're dividing the body of Christ. But let me tell you what, Paul kept it real. He said, one plant and one water. But it's God who gives the increase.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So the lesson from his life is a lot. And it means a lot because he was an effective communicator. He communicated excellent with especially when it came to declaring the gospel. He was accurate with his message. He delivered with God's power. It was a clear gospel. I mean, there was a lot of things he was sharing. And he was convinced of this because they said to him, we recognize you're a believer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what does a believer do? A believer lay hands on the sick. That's what the scripture said, Mark 16.
Okay.
They lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It says to who, those that believe, here's what they'll do. They'll cast out devils in my name. So they saw something that told them that he was a believer. Now, exactly what was pointed out, it doesn't say. But if I go back to the scripture, I can list some things that he had to be doing one or the other, because that's what the Bible said. And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yeah.
In my name, it shall cast out devils. You know, I'm not. Y'all make me preach this thing here in a minute. So they was aware that there was some signs here. Man, look at this man here. He's going to. We need to put him to the side and let him know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But see,
yeah.
Remember the religious leaders? They was always asking for a sign. And that's why Jesus' miracles were so awesome. That's why he had to do, because there was always one sign. Sign for this, sign for that. Remember over there in Mark 8, and the story goes there, 11 through 13, Jesus reminded religious leaders, y'all ask for a sign.
Yes, yes.
And remember he told them, but you know what? There ain't going to be no more signs except for the sign of Jonah.
All right.
Because they was always wanting signs. You got people right now, they want signs because they're not up to date. Show me. Prove it to me. No, this is a faith walk. You're going to have to get it by faith. If you get healed, it's going to be by faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember
amen,
when
amen.
Jesus healed a demonic man? See, these were signs so that people could believe. Because Jesus was dealing with an unbelieving, perverse generation.
Yeah.
Like you got a lot of people today. They're just, they're really unbelievable, perverse generation. Jesus said to them, how long will you how long will you put up with this kind of... God get a little upset, and when I say this, don't nobody misunderstand me. Sign after sign, sign after sign. So Jesus replied on one occasion, So to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. See, people looking for a sign today. Jesus has already risen, people. What's wrong with you?
All right.
He's already risen.
Yeah.
He risen because he said he was going to risen. But, we can't wait till Jesus come back. Man, Jesus is already here. Remember he promised that he was going to come to you? Those that believe over there in John. See, when you believe, you're going to have an experience with the Lord. He and the Father are going to come, and they're going to make their abode with you. What you think he's going to come in the whole world? Jesus said, no, the whole world ain't going to see me. But you'll see me. You'll know I'm here. You'll know I'm alive. See, everybody don't get that because they're not spiritual. And rather than ask God, see, you have not because you ask not. So they said,
amen.
But it's this perverse generation. They need to have a sign for this and a sign for that. Jesus replied to one group and told them, oh, you have little faith. He said, I'm telling you the truth, and you still don't believe it. Y'all seeing miracles, and you still don't believe it.
Have mercy, Lord.
People, God is still performing miracles. He still, as C.C. Winans said, he's still having Lazarus experiences.
Mm-hmm.
People still is being risen from their way of, their dead way of thinking. Yeah. But.
Yes.
And he's amazed at this. But anyway, Jesus was teaching them, even there was a little boy who had been possessed with devils. I think about these were signs. So he said, now go back and tell the priest what's been done. Go show yourself. Because, see, they knew the Old Testament scripture, and it had to be fulfilled. And down here, whatever Apollos was doing, it made them know he was a believer.
Man.
They had to know that they was a believer. Now, I'm going to show you this so you'll know. In Mark, I think it's Mark 16, 17. If you'll go there, Mark 16, verse 17,
18. I'm sorry, Master Pastor. Can you repeat that again, please? You said Mark.
Mark 16, 17, 18.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, you can start at verse 15 if you want to.
Okay. Praise God. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. From the Message Bible, then he said, go into the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snake in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Amen.
So they saw him as a believer. And based on his scripture here, this is what a believer does.
Yes.
These are miraculous signs, brothers and sisters. With confident believers. These are signs that are confident believers. So if you want to know a believer, here's what they'll do. They will use the power and authority of the name of the Lord and demand, not ask, but demand that Satan loose them and let him go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.
Too many folks want to beg. You don't have to beg Satan. You tell him. You're in authority.
That's right.
You're representing Christ. You're an ambassador. If you're a believer. So whatever they saw him as a believer. He was doing one of these things here he was doing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm going to ask Pastor to take over for about 2 minutes, Pastor. And anything you want to talk about that we did this week, please do. I'll be right back.
Amen. Amen. I would like for us to read back to Acts 18, verses 27 and 28, please. So that's Acts 18, verses 27 and 28.
Okay. Yes. In the King James, Acts 18, 27 and 28.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise God.
In the King James, it reads as follows: "And when he had exposed the passing to Arcadia, the brethren wrote exhorting the two disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, taught them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly shewing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ." Amen.
Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, when Apollos decided to go on to Achaia, his Ephesian friends gave their blessing and wrote a letter of recommendation for him, urging the disciples there to welcome him with open arms. The welcome paid off. Apollos turned out to be a great help to those who had become believers through God's immense generosity. He was particularly effective in public debate with the Jews as he brought out proof after convincing proof from the scripture that Jesus was in fact God's Messiah. Amen. So I like that scripture as well because here it's showing that Apollos debated with the Jews to let them know that, you know, proof after proof, the scripture says that Jesus, in fact, was the Messiah. And just as Pastor was just sharing about the sign, and, you know, it lets us know that when we're in God's Word, this Word is the sign for the believers. We can go to His Word anytime, and the scripture will speak to our hearts. You know, I like to share that, you know, when we get into the Word of God, we should always be prayerful. And here, Apollos was powerful. He was a great man, as it says here. And the Ephesian friends so gave recognition, you know, gave their blessings and wrote a letter of recommendation for him. So you see, when you are in right standing with the Lord, then your brother, your sister will always write or give recommendation of you. Well, let them know whoever you're going to see, this is a man or this is a woman of God, and they're going to bring the word. And so I see Apollos this way as well. He didn't let anything deter him. And then he was open to receive what Aquila and Priscilla had to offer also. So he was humble enough, even though he was mighty, and he knew the scriptures well, and he spoke what he knew, and he spoke it with enthusiasm, he still was open. That means he humbled himself to receive what Priscilla and Aquila also was willing to share with him. So, you know, and I love that too. Okay, Pastor, I hear you. Back in your hand.
Oh, no, you fine. You fine. Anyone else? I may want to, you continue on, Pastor. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise God.
Yeah, no, I was just amen to that because a lot of people don't realize you got a lot of unsung heroes. You got a lot of people that's not mentioned, but and a lot of what they did wasn't mentioned. But just the idea that Apollos, the Bible recognized him as being a great man of God, a great man of faith, somebody that knew how to submit themselves to the power of God, and they didn't see them as a female. They just saw them as the power of God. Because, see, if you really get into Judaism, he didn't have to even listen to them. But he humbled himself. Because that's why Paul said, if you don't want to go ask your husband. They weren't even going to be asking that man anything. Period.
Yeah.
Let alone trying to teach him something.
Amen.
But I want to say a lot of times you got to take people in the back room and talk to them and explain it to them. And that's what they did. They took him back there and told him about the Holy Ghost. And what it did on the day of Pentecost. And they began to share that word. I'm sure that's what they did. They shared how he was, how the Holy Ghost came. And they were seen of, Jesus was seen of a lot of people. Just told a whole resurrection story.
Yeah.
A lot of people is not into the resurrection. They think, you'd be surprised, there's a lot of people think Christ is coming back. Christ has already come back.
Yeah.
You're not going to get no signs. Stop wondering, waiting on a sign. The best thing you can do is get in Christ. And then you're going to know the truth. And the truth is going to set you free.
Hallelujah.
Because he promised that he was going to come back to you individually. Mm-hmm. And the world won't even know it.
Amen.
It's going to be enough. See, it's, when Christ come back, to annihilate everything, people, it's going to already be over. You're going to be in his bosom.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back, you're coming back with him to annihilate everything. Angels coming. He's going to put one foot on earth and then one on, and declare that the time has been, won't be anymore. See, you're going to have to understand that if you're not in Christ when he comes, you're going to be doomed. That's what the scripture was saying. If you don't believe, you will be damned. If you're not acting on the word of God, you're going to be damned. If you preach some other gospel, you're going to be damned.
Yes, that's the word says.
That's what the scripture says. Those are not my words, brothers and sisters. So it's important that you be a believer. But a believer, there will be some signs. Because these are what you'll do. This is what's going to follow you. Going to follow you. Not go before you, but going to follow you.
Yes. Amen.
Those that believe. Well, we're going to share some scriptures that we shared this week. I think it's fitting. On Tuesday, we dealt with Galatians 5:22-23. Evangelist Sharon, can you go to Galatians 5:22-23 for us, please?
Yes. In the King James, it reads as follows. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. Galatians 5, 22.
Amen. From the Message Bible, what happens when we believe God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitment, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Amen. Legalism is helpless. Amen.
Any comment?
Praise God. But I like the scripture as it says, he brings gifts into our lives. It says much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. And just as you shared with us through the week, Pastor, on this scripture, that it's a fruit of the Spirit, one Spirit. And then if there's one Spirit, then we receive the fruit of that Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And so it puts me in the mind of a apple tree, how that tree is one tree, but on that tree is a tree full of apples. And so when I'm thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, that comes to mind. And we who are spiritual, we should have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And when we have it, it'll come forth. It'll come forth. That love will come forth. Your love unconditionally.
Yeah.
You'll have the joy of the Lord in your life. You'll have peace. You won't allow negative talk, you know, disrupt you. You have a peace of mind in the things that you're going through. You'll have faith to know that, you know, you're walking by faith and not by sight. So you have this when you have the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. You know, that's what we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that the fruits of that Spirit, the Spirit of God, have all of these things inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
That you may mention about. Is that called alaka? When you go and you order different things, and you can get it separate, but that's not how it works with the Holy Ghost. When you order, when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you get it all, one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can't be selective. And that's the good part about this here. Matter of fact, that's how you know somebody really got it. You can't be selective.
All right.
You don't have no control over, well, in a sense you do, but if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is guiding you. It's leading you. Now, if you haven't been filled, yeah, you might curse somebody out.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
But when you've been filled, it's like, okay, whatever the Holy Ghost say to you. Bless you, sister. Bless you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. See you later. I'm gone. I'm out of here. So all those are things that happens with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Holy Spirit is telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, I've been in some situation, and I'm going to try to put this in the best way I know how to put it. I've been in some situation that the enemy got me so angry till I wanted to just slap something.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And sometimes he'll get you to use your mouth, too. But I refuse. Only thing coming out of my mouth is praises for God. And a fountain can't bring forth bitter and sweet water at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Say that.
So I'm using my mouth just like a fountain. It's just going to bring forth sweet savior. Let the fruit of my lips be dedicated to God. I'm not going to allow the enemy to do that. Because, see, once the Holy Spirit is on you, then you become like, let's see how you put this. You're submissive. You're being led. You're being guided.
Yeah.
You don't have no control.
Amen.
No. But anyway, also we did, but just one thing I want to make sure everybody understand is one spirit and all these fruits belongs to it. So if you get the one spirit, you get all the other goodies. Go with it. You don't have any choice of the matter. It becomes your nature now.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, see, because it's God's spirit in you. So the stuff you start doing is God's stuff. I said one day, and the Lord reminded me, because I'm wondering, well, Lord, well, I'm doing good to those that despitefully use me. The Lord says, that's my spirit in you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And I have to meditate on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You'll find yourself telling folks that you help. I ain't going to help you no more. I'm done. And turn right around and bless
you
them.
Do something. Yes, indeed.
Wow. Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, he will. Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, and folks will think you crazy, they'll think you stupid. And they just don't know, man. Hey, if you had any control over the matter, your flesh wouldn't do it. But because of the spirit that's in you, that's why it happens.
Yeah.
And they'll get it twisted. Let me tell you right off, they will get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They'll get it twisted in the heartbeat. But you keep on pressing on because it's by faith. It's what God did. That's why over in 1 John 3:1, I think it was 1 John 3:1, talks about that a little bit. You might want to read that since it's right there.
1 John 3:1. And that 10 things it reads as follows. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Amen. Let that be the reason they're confused.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Bring the message, Bible. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us serious, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God. That scripture was for me.
See, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
They don't know. Because I used to think people ought to know. But they don't know. Matter of fact, when you be honest, it become part of your nature and you just do it. It's become almost automatic. You just, you stop fighting God because that become part of your nature. You're God. You're a love baby. You're a love child. And you act like your daddy. You're a son now. Your son, you know, father like son, what is it? Father like son, son like father.
Yeah.
I mean, you like your daddy now. Just full of love.
Amen.
And don't expect no one to understand it. You're not going to get it. Remember 1 Corinthians 2, they won't understand it. It's spiritual.
Amen.
You'll be like, don't you get it? And they'll be like, well, church, I got a real dummy here. That's why a lot of times you got to go boogity, boogity, boogity. You know, you see sis, just go boogity, boogity. That's what I do. The Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. And when you see it, you go the other way.
Amen.
For a lot of reasons, too. Because if you're not, you're going to find yourself, the Holy Spirit, because the devil always trying to pick at you.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
and he can't get saved. He won't be saved.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. And he don't like your light. Because he can't comprehend it. That's what the Gospel of St. John says. He don't understand it. Darkness don't understand the light.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they do, they will have to bow to it sooner or later.
Yes.
But there was a couple other scriptures I wanted to touch on today. I guess it was John 15 and 7. And but we did 1 through 4. Then we also did John 15 and 7. So let's go to John, if you will. The Gospel of St. John, 15th chapter, 7th verse. So, brother, just go to 7th. Start the first verse and read all the way through to the 7th. Thank you.
Amen.
You got that, Evangelist Shannon?
I apologize, I didn't take you off mute, and I was reading on to myself, I guess. John 15, 1 through 7 in King James reads as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he saveth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your words. Amen. From the Message Bible, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back, so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined within me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Awesome.
If you're saying that word, you're staying in God. You're staying in Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And then you're going to know the truth.
Yeah.
But it won't work unless you stay in that word. And I must tell you, because I think some people think it's not, but I'm going to tell you, it's conditional. It's conditional. The conditions
all right.
is as follows. You must be in the word. That allows
mm-hmm.
the word to stay in you. It's not Amen. Welcome in you unless you are in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
A lot of times you want it to be automatic and, oh, it's going to happen because I know the Lord. He knows my situation. Nope. Sorry. God is a conditional God. A lot of times you see the word if. That means God is not just going to take over. He's going to allow you your own rights and privileges.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of God we're serving. That's the kind
Amen.
Of God we're serving. He just doesn't
mm-hmm.
Bully you. He's not like
That's
that.
Right. Amen.
He said the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman.
But
yes, I
want to
go a step beyond that. And said, God had made every man and woman their own free and moral agent. So, you're a free will. Your will is free. And once you get saved, God ain't going to make you stay saved.
All right.
I want God to do this. No, you're going to have to do some stuff. And he's telling
okay.
you, if you'll stay in that word, whatever you ask is going to be done. But it's only
mm-hmm.
going to be done based on you staying in the word, living in the word, abiding
mm-hmm.
in the word.
Yeah.
That way it's going
yeah.
to happen. So if somebody needs a prayer answer, get in that word and stay. And your prayers
yeah.
are ready to be answered. I can see it right now. Being answered. Nothing else
mm-hmm.
to debate. You go ahead on and thank him right now. Because you
right
make
now.
A decision. You get ready to stay in that word. And you're going to let that word work you. And
mm-hmm.
I said, you will have what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that will yeah. understand in the word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Anyone
mm-hmm.
else have anything else that I can share in the scripture this week? Any scripture
yeah.
at all this week that you like to share?
Praise God. I like this scripture here, Pastor, where the Message Bible says, separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood. So, I mean, you're not connected to him no kind of way. So that's why we have to stay in God's word so we can stay connected. I like the phrase you used to say some time ago, you stay ready to keep from getting ready. So if you stay in the word, then you're going to continue to be part of you're going to be with our Savior. Amen. I mean, you're walking with the Father. And you said that about if. That's if you're in the Word. I mean, you can't be spiritual and not be in the Word of God. Amen. We have to stay connected. So I like to read, that's one of our favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2, verses, we can do 10 through 16.
Okay. In the King James, it reads as follows. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, the spirit, not content to float around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits in open communion, spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone knows what he's doing? Has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. Amen. So I just love that. It lets us know that now that we're new creatures in Christ, we have Christ's Spirit. Amen. And it teaches us that we can do all things through Christ. Amen. And as we do that, you know, we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And it, like it says, those that are not spiritual, they won't understand what we're talking about. But those who are spiritual, praise God, we understand that language between one another, because it says we have Christ's Spirit, so we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
I want to say one thing. While you was talking, the Spirit said to me, that piece of wood out there that came off that tree, it's just like a person is not connected to the Spirit. Ain't no different. Spirit, same thing. You get red. Same thing.
Wow.
So the next time y'all see a limb, know that that limb represents a person not into the spirit. That's what they are. They're just like that dead limb.
Amen.
But to be thrown in the fire. So the last thing you want to do is not be connected. Stay connected no matter what. That way you stay in spiritual.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, I sure God appreciate each and every one of you all. I want to apologize. When I saw that bear walk by here, I was done. Believe me, I ain't no fear in me, but I'm glad I was on the inside today for real. I'm really glad I was in here doing the word at noon. God, have mercy. Y'all, thank y'all so much, and I'm glad I didn't lose it.
Amen.
Meanwhile, we'll see y'all tomorrow for the word.